We are doing Drashot Aran. We're up to page Yud Gimel in the Machon Shalem edition. What page is it there, Asher Chaim?
Yud
Chet in the Mishor edition and Lamed Dalid in the Mosad Arav Kook edition. We're holding the first Drasha, and the Ran had expanded on the chapter in Tehillim that taught us how David HaMelech said our knowledge is superficial and God's knowledge stems from the source. God's knowledge is a knowledge that goes to the source of why things were created, to the knowledge that's behind the scenes, so to speak. A knowledge that goes to the essence of our being, of the beings in the world. And we'd spent the last 2 weeks with Ran teaching us how to understand the verses in Tehillim Kuf Lamed Tet, in Tehillim, the 139th chapter. And now the Ran continues. Hinei im ken nitba'er. If so, what's been clarified is sheidiyat ha'adam v'chakirato, that the human knowledge and the human research einam agat la'asig amitat ha'dvarim v'atzmam. It doesn't touch, it doesn't reach, it does not attain the truth of the essence of the things that are in this world, rak mikrehem, but rather we can do research, we can verify, we could discover what are the things that, so to speak, are the derivatives, what happens with these things, what are the attributes, the externals. V'gam b'zeh yishotetu rabim v'tirvei ha'dot, and even in this area, so you have many people who are seeking and there are different opinions. And this knowledge of science, what research can attain, that's not a part of what we call Ma'aseh V'Reshit at all. Shehu nimsa l'anviim chachmei Yisrael. Ma'aseh V'Reshit, the secrets of creation, the knowledge of the essence of why things were created a certain way, the understanding of the creation's essence, that's something that was passed down through the prophets and the wise men. But this, the research to figure out how things work, what are the attributes of the different things in nature, that's something that was given to the nations of the land. So that, he says, has nothing to do with Ma'aseh V'Reshit. You'll be a good scientist, you'll do good research, you'll figure out what are the attributes of different things. But Ma'aseh V'Reshit, that's knowing the essence. You know the essence, then you'll also know why it has certain attributes and what the attributes are. And because we, in our discussion of creation, in our discussion of Bereshis, we won't touch upon the essence, we won't get to that depth, so we're not touching on the secrets of the Torah, so therefore, we could speak about these verses, and to understand as best as our strength allows. So, really, what the Ran's been saying for the last few months, we've been reading the last few pages, is that I'm allowed to tell you about creation and explain the verses of creation because that's not Ma'aseh V'Reshit. So he had to explain why is that not Ma'aseh V'Reshit. So we went off on this long tangent explaining what is Ma'aseh V'Reshit, what is our knowledge, that our knowledge is external. Ma'aseh V'Reshit is internal. It's the knowledge of the essence of the things that were created. And after we've explained all of that and proven that, now he comes back to the point. So now let me explain creation. And therefore, me'atan nashuv l'sader ha'parsha, we'll come back to arrange the parsha of creation. She'sovevet pe'inyan, that the parsha revolves around the concept, she'kol ma she'nivra she'nasa acharon acharon, that the things that were created later in time, yoter shelem min ha'kodmim elav b'madriga, is more whole than those things that preceded it. They are on a greater level. You know, that's what women always claim. Right? They always say, you see, God evolved in creation, so the woman was created last, right? So the Ran says everything in creation evolved. Now this goes back to the point the Ran made at the very beginning. The Ran had said that the whole is greater than its parts. You remember? The Ran had said that really you read Ecclesiastes, it would seem that Koheles is going against this concept. Koheles is saying if the parts are faulty, then the whole is also faulty. And we say in Judaism that the whole is greater than its components. And then he went on to explain why we say that. That when you have a whole, say each one can cover up for the other one's lackings. And that's why we say in a tzibur, when you have a congregation, so then the congregation has great strength. God doesn't look at the faults of each one. It's like you have a team. In a team effort, the goalie doesn't have to be the offenseman. The offenseman doesn't have to be the goalie. As a team, they will be successful. Each one is successful in his area. But that's the strength of the group. So the Ran is going back to that point, that as creation evolved, things became more complex. They were created from the elements, the base elements that were created initially. And as such, as we move forward chronologically in creation, we're also moving forward in sophistication, and we're moving forward in wholeness. As creation evolves, when we go from day 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 till 6, the creation has evolved. And maybe even till 7. That's a concept we have to think about. Because day number 7 was Shabbat. So if Shabbat was the creation of a day of holiness, a day of rest, maybe that is the ultimate sophistication. Or you'll say, no, that's the creation of a concept. Okay, that's something to think about. Ki hine b'yom harishon nivru arba yesodot. For on the first day of creation, God created the four fundamental elements. Shem yoter rechukim mishlemut, that they are most distant from wholeness. They aren't whole. They are the base elements. Uvigmar hayom hashishin, in the conclusion of the sixth day, nivra ha'adam, man was created. Shu yoter krov lashlemut, that is much closer to wholeness. Vechol ma shenivra rishon hu hatza'a, and whatever was created earlier is a prelude, ve'akdama, and introduction, ma'achana, and preparation, lema shebacharav, to that which will be created after it. This is really the simple understanding of the verses. Because that which our sages told us, that on the first day we have on tradition, God created a magnificent light that was even better than the light that was to come on the next days in God's creation. So that seems to contradict what we just said. He says that there is a secret that's beyond our knowledge. We're going with pshat. Pshat of the psukim is the way we've explained. That as creation moved forward, it evolved in sophistication. But when you look at the way of creation, you must say the way we've said, that this was the order of creation. For after it's been known and it's been verified, shagamim ha-shamaymiim nedarei ha-hefech, that the celestial beings, those that they have no contra, meaning that when you have something physical in this world, so it has a contra, it has something, it has an opposite. When you have something that's godly, it doesn't have to have a contra, it doesn't have to have an opposite. Fire contradicts water, heat, cold. You have contradictions in the physical world. In the spiritual world, there is no contradiction. Kenam lo kalim velo kvedim. The spiritual beings, they're not light, they're not heavy. Lochamim velo karim, lochim velo yveshim. They're not hot, they're not cold, they're not wet, they're not dry. They don't. These things don't affect them. So they are not affected by the things in this world that have two sides. Everything that has two sides is something that's physical. Vehem chizkei ayachas lashlemut, and they have strong relation to wholeness. Meaning, the only thing that's really completely whole is God. But these celestial beings, that what we'll call the angels, so they're very close to being whole. V'lachayim ad v'lachayim, and they're very close to eternal life. Achem kaimim ad l'olam, they're around forever. Yitchayevim ken, so then what must be shagashmim shem betachlit akzem min ha'efech, that the material things that seem to be at the opposite end of the spectrum, they're the opposite extreme. Shayu betachlit arochak min hashlemut. So when you go from the most sophisticated creation, you go from the angel to the most basic creation, the base elements, so then the base elements are the opposite extreme, and they're most distant from the concept of wholeness. You have, let's take the base element of earth. We're going with their explanation of base elements. There's no wholeness in that. When you put the earth together with water and fire and water and fire, water, and air, so then you can compose something, and you could compose something that's closer to being whole. When you look at the base elements, so they have a contra, they have the things that are completely opposite from them. So then, what we must say is that the base elements, which are the most basic, the most crass creation, they are created on day one. Ki ha-pashut kodem la-murkav b'teva. For in nature, something that is less sophisticated must be formed before you can make something that is more sophisticated. You first have to purchase the flour, then you have to purchase the water, then you can mix them and make dough. Now you have something that's slightly more sophisticated. You have dough. You take the dough, you add some more ingredients to it, you're making something more sophisticated. So that's a simple example. But he's saying that's the way it is in creation. Before God creates things that were created from the base elements, God first created the base elements. So according to this, what we must say is שכל מה שתתרחק ההרכבה מפשוטי היסודות, the more distant we are from the base elements, the more you take things that are evolved already, meaning if on day one you create the base elements, on day two you take those base elements and you create something more sophisticated, day three you could already take the things you created on day two and make something more sophisticated. Tosif shleimut, so then you're getting closer to wholeness. Kefi itrachka me'agashmim, because you're distancing yourself from base material. Shehem b'tachlit ha'hefech v'amtza'a, because you're going from the extreme, from the most basic, towards the middle ground. V'itkava l'agamim ha'shamayimim, and you're advancing towards where you headed, to the opposite extreme, to the celestial beings, to the angels. Meaning creation, he says, is going from creating the most basic, evolving and evolving and evolving, we're moving across the spectrum towards wholeness, towards a completely godly being, the angels. B'zeu ha-murkav ha-acharon, and that's the final creation, the final composition, asher hu adam, that's the human being. U'bifrat ha-ruach ha-libi asher bo, specifically that spirit that's within him, asher hu yoter karov el-agamim ha-shamayimim, that is closest to the heavenly beings, mikol ma shetacht galgal ha'erech, closer than anything else that's here on earth. V'lachen usam lechayim ha'nitzchiyim, and that's why it was given eternal life. The neshama, our soul, is the closest thing in creation to being godly, to being like angels, and that's why it's given eternal life. Odenu mulkav, it's nonetheless, though, it is composed of different elements. It would have been given eternal life, even though the soul is together with the body. We were created with the intent of having eternal life, which means the initial creation of man was that he would be like an angel, but our sin caused us that we're not like the angels. Yeah? So what do we see in the Ran today? Yeah. I'm with you, Yonatan. He says that creation went in the order from base elements to sophisticated elements. From base elements that they have a lifespan and they have contras, you have things that can be burnt, you have things, fire and water will contradict one another. And you evolve. God took the base elements, put them together, composed things that are more sophisticated. And as they evolve, they're moving closer and closer to the creation of a whole being. Something that like the ultimate creation, which was man, which was supposed to be eternal, meaning had man not sinned, God created within man the neshama, God created the life, which was supposed to be eternal. And God warned Adam, if you sin, you will die. Adam sinned, so we have death. So now, our whole being is on a lesser level. But in essence, he says, creation goes from the simple to the complex, from the simple that has a limited lifespan, to the more whole, which can have an eternal lifespan like the angels. That's the direction of creation. And part of this concept is that everything that's created is a prelude, a preparation for the creation of the next thing, which is more sophisticated, more complex, and closer to being whole. Okay, should we continue or pause here? Continue a little bit. V'zeo seder ha-parsha. So this is the order of the parsha. Ki b'yom ha-rishon nivru ha-yisodot. On the first day, the base elements were created, v'niya o, and there was light. Ki ha-yisodot ayu hachachim ha-rishonah, k'mo she-bi'arnu, because the base elements were essential initially, as we've explained. Da'or gamken, and there was also a necessity for the light, l'sha'er u'l'avdil ben hayamim, to evaluate and separate and discern between the days. Now this is a very complicated concept, what he just said. Because who needs to discern between the days? Mankind. God doesn't need light to discern between the days. He continues and says, "Ki lulei ha'or lo yishu'ar hazman klal." If not for light, you can never evaluate time. I don't know what he means by this. I don't understand this line in the Ran. I don't know. V'lazeh lo nigmara havayato ad hayom harvi. And so the being that the whole purpose of the creation of light was to discern between days, the conclusion of the creation of light didn't happen till the fourth day. Ki haya dai b'ma shenitava mimenu kefi atzarich be'et ahi. Because it was enough that God created that much of the light, because that was all that was necessary at that time in the beginning of creation. The final creation of the sun and the moon, etc., that could wait for the fourth day. So he says, even though light existed in the first day, it was just to discern between the days, whatever that means. And what has to come next in line is the heaven and the earth. That they are the source of the things that were created up above and the things that were created below. That's why the second day was set aside for the creation of the rakia. And the third day for the bringing of earth down here. So again, maybe this is going hand in hand with the Ramban, the evolvement of creation. What we saw in the Drashat Ramban, Torat Hashem Tmima, that creation began with base elements, a small amount of matter that evolved. We have to see whether that's what the Ran means or not. You remember we saw that in the Ramban. The question is the Ran going with that concept too? Because the Ran uses terminology, lehavayat harakia, lehavayat haaretz. He doesn't use the word bri'a. He uses the word havaya, to the existence of. He doesn't say to the creation of. Now, I would think that havaya is what we call bria. Meaning, my understanding in the Ran is that he's not going like the Ramban. We saw that the Ramban had said that creation was focused in the first day. First matter was created, a minuscule amount of first matter was created, and then it just evolved. The Ran, in my opinion, is not saying that, but we'll have to see as we continue. The Ran says, God made the Rakia exist. God made the earth exist. To me, that sounds like Briya, like creation. Uviyom avayat haaretz, and in the day that the earth existed, came to exist, nitavu ba'alei ha'nefesh ha'tzomachat. So too, those that have the potential for growth, they too came to exist. It's fitting that those that have growth, meaning the vegetation, the plants, they should precede those that have life, which are the animals, because they are really a preparation and introduction towards the creation of life, of what we would call the animal kingdom, because they are there to give sustenance to them. And being that this creation of the vegetation doesn't have anything spectacular about it, lo nitached le'ayom, doesn't require its own day of creation, aval ishtatfa im hayasut hayabasha, but rather it was combined with the creation, the making of dry land, kasher lo chashesha Torah liyached ve'lazkir ba'alei harkava hamizgit kedomimim. Just like the Torah doesn't bother telling us that Hashem created the things that have potential for being combined. When you take something and you melt things together, the Torah doesn't tell us, well, today, on this day, God created liquids, or the potential for solids to be changed to liquids. There are a lot of things that the Torah doesn't tell us about their creation. So the things that are domimim, the things that the four base elements and the potential for them to be combined, that the Torah doesn't tell us about that creation. Even though this potential for combining elements really gave us new potential for making things that are more whole, and it's something that has great benefit. you can't do it with something as simple as dry land. You have to have elements, like we call elements, right? Our table of elements, you need that. And that the Torah doesn't bother telling us when were those elements created. We know that creation began with earth. Now, that evolved at some point to what we call the chart of elements, and that's an important involvement, but the Torah doesn't bother mentioning that. The Torah didn't bother mentioning that. So too, the Torah doesn't give us a specific day for the creation of plants, of vegetation. Because vegetation was a part of the creation of earth. So the Torah records it, but it isn't given its own day. And we will continue, Be'ezrat Hashem, next time, with the continuation of the order of creation. The order which the Ran had said is really in ordering, in sophistication, and in wholeness. Yeah?